The Ten Commandments, that's right, yeah, all right. I had to think about it for a second. Did I want to say Deuteronomy or did I want to say the Ten Commandments? We are on the fourth commandment, the commandment dealing with the Sabbath, okay? So if you've got your Bibles, we're dealing with commandment four, which says, observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy as the Lord your God has commanded you. Dwight, that's for the little kids. You don't qualify by any stretch of the imagination. I can't believe that. You know, when he came in, him being the principal of this school, I wanted to write him a yellow tardy slip, but I figured that might be a bit obvious. So, no, just kidding. We are going to be dealing with the Sabbath day today. So, I did a little research because, to be honest, I'm not much of a Sabbath day guy, but there are people that are. And can anybody think, or just in general, think of a farming community? What would be one of the problems that a farming community might have, let's say a dairy farmer? What would a dairy farmer, what problems might a dairy farmer have on the Sabbath? You still gotta milk the cows, right? Because what happens to a cow if you don't milk it? It gets... And they got to be done every day. And sometimes, I mean, usually it's twice a day. And there are some people who are actually doing it three times a day, but I think they're greedy, and so we look down on them. But in all reality, the idea of what to do with a milk cow is... Well, let me put it to you this way. That concern is going on even today in the nation of Israel. In fact, I have here a two-page article detailing some of the scholarly thoughts that have been dealt with as far as dairy products and milking your cows. One of the things they said that when you milk your cow, you have to go very slowly and very deliberately, so that what you're doing is you're relieving pain, you're not milking for a product. And you can't sell the milk that is produced on Sunday as you can the rest of the week because you're breaking the Sabbath to do this instead of taking care of what you're... I mean, literally, there are people... just reams and reams of rules about how to milk your cow. And... You want to hear a funny one? All right. These people are trying to be in accordance with the Old Testament. And they give, there's two options that are totally okay. Option number one, hire a Gentile. we're going to talk about that in a minute because the Sabbath was supposed to be for everybody in Israel, but not just the Jews. So that one doesn't hold. And the second one's even worse. Well, use a mechanical device. They did not have automated milking carrels back in the pre-Jesus days. Nowadays, you know, the cows, they walk in, they get all washed up, cleaned up, automatic, done, out they go, right? Back then, they didn't have those. So how does it... I don't know. Dealing with the Sabbath, it can cause some real problems. And what we're going to do is we're going to take a look at that today. So if you've got your Bibles, hopefully you've found the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 5, and we're just going to delve into it. I've got a little bit that I want to cover today. I'm going to try and get it all in, and thankfully my watch broke, so I don't know if I'm running long. So just, if you need a snack, they've got some back with the kids. Well, no, just kidding. We'll get through this. Deuteronomy, beginning in chapter 5, verse 12, it says this. Observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work. You, or your son, or your daughter, or your male servant, or your female servant, or your ox, or your donkey, or any of your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates, that your male servant and your female servant may rest as well as you. You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. All right. All right, that's what the Bible says about the Sabbath day. And I've got like 25 different things I need to say about it real quick. So we'll get through this as fast as we can. First of all, it was a day of rest for everybody. Did you notice how it talked about the sojourner? How your male and your female servant, it doesn't matter who it's talking about, the Sabbath was supposed to be a day off. So when you take a look in the modern regulations of how to deal with milk cows on the Sabbath, and it says, hire a Gentile, is that in keeping with the Sabbath? No, not at all. Because the Sabbath was a day of rest for you, for me, for our kids, for our servants, and for the sojourner among you. The idea is that the Sabbath day was to be a day set apart from labor. Now, secondly, there are two different justifications for setting aside one day of the week. What was the justification that we read about here in Deuteronomy? Because you were blank in Egypt. Captives or slaves in Egypt. Whew, tough one. I was hoping everybody got that one right. That's right. The one justification that we read here in Deuteronomy, you were slaves in Egypt. But if you turn over to Exodus chapter 20, this is where we get the Ten Commandments are also recorded. And if you take a look down here, and starting at verse 8, it says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath to the Lord. On it you shall not do any work, or your son, your daughter, your male servant, your female, livestock, sojourner. Same thing. Nobody's supposed to, this is supposed to be a day set aside for the Lord. Then verse 11, Exodus chapter 20. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. But in Deuteronomy, that's not what it said. And it said, what does it say? It says, you shall remember you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord brought you out from there with a mighty hand and outstretched arm. Therefore, your Lord God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. So we see there's more than one reason why the Sabbath day is the day of rest is important. If you go back, you see that God, who really sets the standard for all of us, right? He is holy and He knows what we need to do, and He knows who we are, and He created us. He worked 6 days and rested on the seventh. Do you know what that implies for us? That we need to also have a day of rest. We need to have a time of rest. I know that was my wife's phone, and we'll deal with it later, woman. Don't shake your head. No, I'm kidding. Everybody heard it. I say that because it's okay to be people. If your phone goes off, do you realize that once we had a former pastor call in the middle of the sermon to talk to his mom? Hi, Tim. It's okay. We're people. We live in this world. These things happen. You don't have to be embarrassed. You don't have to freak out. These things are, okay? And if I've made you feel even worse, I'm really sorry. I was trying to release the tension. Oh, well. Let's go back to the sermon, shall we? 6 days of work with a day of rest is appropriate for us. And God uses that as a justification for the Sabbath. He also reminds them that they were slaves in Egypt. Do you know why? You see, slaves oftentimes don't get time off. Oftentimes, they're asked to do more and more work. And what I've just realized is it wasn't a phone, was it? It was kids playing in the back, wasn't it? I'm an idiot. That's okay. Like I said, we live real life. No wonder my wife's going, it wasn't me. Anyways. Yeah, we'll get through it. So here we have 7 days, six work, one rest, not just for the people, not just for the chosen ones, not just for the elite, but also for the servants, to include even the animals, which, by the way, a lot of people think slaves are. A lot of people have treated slaves and servants as nothing more than animals, which is not appropriate. So there's reasons for the Sabbath, okay? Number one, God rests. We need rest. Number two, it's appropriate for not just the chosen Israelites, but for everybody in the land. But this one, this commandment. All right, so what was the first commandment? The first commandment was, you shall have no other gods before Jehovah, right? The second commandment was, don't have any idols, right? And last week we talked about, don't claim the name of God if you're not a believer. All three of those are what you could call absolutes. There is nowhere in the Bible that you can go and say, it's okay to worship Buddha. It's okay to be a follower of something else. There's nowhere in the Bible you're going to find that commandment in any way set aside or mitigated. There is nowhere in the Bible that you're going to find it's okay to participate in idolatry. It's an absolute rejected idea. Idolatry is bad. And there is nowhere in the Scriptures where God says, oh, it's okay to kind of fake it until you make it. Those three are absolute. They're not acceptable. But what about the Sabbath? The Sabbath is a completely different type of commandment. The first three are absolutes, but this is an ordinance of separation. The commandment to honor the Sabbath and to make it a special day for the entire nation is distinctly different than the first three. Because you can find in Scripture where it says the Sabbath day isn't of the same as the first three. And some of you are looking at me like, I don't understand. And that's great, because we're going to talk about it in a little bit. But you need to understand that there is no wavering on there is but one God. There is no wavering on the idea that idolatry is evil. And there is no wiggle room when God says, don't claim to be a believer when you're not. There is no wiggle room on any of those. But from creation until Moses, the seventh day was not a Sabbath. It was not a day that God had said, you shall rest or you shall die. Oh, did I not mention that? Breaking the Sabbath under the Mosaic law was, I want to say bad juju, but that's the wrong word. It's a bad idea. If you've got your Bibles, take a look with me over in Numbers chapter 15. Let's see, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. So Numbers 15. The nation of Israel was still in the desert. They were still wandering around. Take another trip around the mountain sort of thing, right? And it's Saturday. It's Sabbath day. Numbers chapter 15, verse 32. While the people of Israel were in the wilderness, they found a man gathering sticks on the Sabbath day. Okay, so you understand they did not have propane heaters back then, right? You understand that sometimes in the desert it gets cold. And you understand that you might want a fire. Well, building a fire was one of those things that you were not supposed to have done. You were supposed to have your fire started on Friday, and you were supposed to keep it alive all the way. Going out and picking up sticks and building a fire? No. Not acceptable. So here we are in Numbers 15:32. They find this guy gathering sticks on the Sabbath day. And those who found him gathering sticks brought him to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation. They put him in custody because it had not been made clear what should be done with him. If you read the Ten Commandments there in what was it says, observe the Sabbath to keep it holy as the Lord your God commanded him. 6 days you shall labor and do your work, but the seventh day you shall do it. It doesn't say what the punishment is. So far they haven't had a problem. Now they find this guy out there picking up sticks, and they grab him and they say, dude, I don't know what we're supposed to do with you. Let's go talk to Moses and Aaron, because what you're doing is wrong, right? They put him in custody because it had not been clear to them what should be done to him. And the Lord said to Moses, the man shall be put to death. Anybody think that might be a bit of an overreach? The dude was cold and was making a fire. And what did God say? Kill him. For the wages of sin is death. But the man was hungry and he wanted to cook some noodles. The wages of sin is death. We tend not to make a big deal about it. We tend to poo-poo it. We tend to say, oh, well, there's extenuating circumstances. And what does God say? God said, put him to death. Well, yeah, I can understand putting somebody to death who's worshiping Molech. I mean, come on, they're evil. Or somebody who's got an idol. Yeah, that's evil. But this guy who's cold? Come on! The wages of sin is death. And if you were living underneath the Mosaic law and you broke the law, you deserve death. Matter of fact, turn over to Nehemiah. There's another account about dealing with the Sabbath day. Let's see, where is Nehemiah? Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Job. So if you find Psalms, you've gone too far to the right. You need to back up. If you're in 1st and 2nd Chronicles, you're too far to the left. You need to go to the right. It's, let's see, Nehemiah chapter 13. This is right towards the end of Nehemiah's story. In our first story, the very first man that we see that got killed because of picking up sticks, the nation of Israel had just been formed. They were still wandering around the desert. They had not yet spent 40 years and then gone in and conquered the land. But here in Nehemiah, not only have they got out of the desert, they've come in, they've conquered the land, they've lived there for hundreds of years, they've had a dynasty, they've had that dynasty, another dynasty, they've split into two nations, and they've the northern tribes were carried off, and now the southern tribes have been carried off, and they've returned from the years of captivity, and they're starting to live in the land again, and they're starting to be a nation and follow the law. And there's a problem. The people are making the same stupid mistakes again. And Nehemiah has come, and he and Ezra and a couple others, they're leading the nation to put away their old evil practices and start doing what's right and start living the way God has called them to. And there's a problem. Pick it up in Nehemiah chapter 13, verse 15. In those days, after the nation had come out of Babylon and returned, and they were getting started making this nation and following the Lord, in those days I saw in Judah people treading wine presses on the Sabbath and bringing in heaps of grain and loading them on donkeys, and also wine, grapes, figs, and all kinds of loads, which they brought into Jerusalem on the Sabbath day. And I warned them on the day when they sold food, Tyrians also, that would be Gentiles, Tyrians also who lived in the city brought in fish and all kinds of goods and sold them on the Sabbath to the people of Judah in Jerusalem itself. Then I confronted the nobles of Judah and said to them, "What is this evil thing that you are doing, profaning the Sabbath day? Did not your fathers act in this way, and did not God bring all this disaster on us, on this city? And now you are bringing more wrath on Israel by profaning the Sabbath." I said that the Sabbath was an ordination of separation. Remember that? It's different than the others. This was an ordination. This was a rule that was to signify that Israel was different. In fact, many of the legal scholars looked at the Sabbath law as the key law that set up the nation of Israel, that set the nation apart. It is the most important one for identifying the nation of Israel. And here they are. They failed their Lord. The Lord has conquered them and sent them into captivity, and they're coming back and they're doing the same wrong things. And Nehemiah isn't playing that game. He's like, "Look, this is what you're doing. Wasn't it bad enough we just went to Babylon and we spent 70 years in captivity and you haven't figured it out yet?" He confronted the nobles. As soon as it began to grow dark at the gates of Jerusalem before the Sabbath, check this out, I commanded that the doors should be shut and gave orders that they should not be opened until after the Sabbath. You got to remember, there was a wall around Jerusalem. People would leave the city to go do their work in the fields, and they would come back and sleep inside the city where it was protected. But the Sabbath starts at sundown. So Friday night, when the sun went down and you could see two stars in the sky, Sabbath had started. And there was to be no more work. So if you were coming from the field and you were late getting home, you were locked out. And that's right, because the Sabbath was set aside as a special day unto the Lord. And so this is what he says. He says, "I commanded it as soon as it started to get dark." Do you know what that means? There's a lot of people out in the fields that couldn't get into town because the gate was shut. As soon as it began to grow dark. The Sabbath hadn't started. It was just getting dark. Bar the gates. And that they should not be opened until after the Sabbath. And I stationed some of my servants at the gates that no load might be brought in on the Sabbath day. Then the merchants and the sellers of all kinds of wares lodged outside Jerusalem once or twice. But I warned them and said to them, "Why do you lodge outside the wall? If you do so again, I will lay hands on you." And just to clarify that, if you show up again, I'm going to beat you. Don't do it. That's how serious they're taking this. This is a violation against the Word of God. And because we didn't hold the Word of God, we ended up in captivity. We're not doing that again. Do you see how important the Sabbath is? They weren't messing around. That's how come they argue, even today, about whether or not it's okay to milk a cow. And if you milk the cow, how are you supposed to do it? And we don't want to end up in the wrong. Do you get that? The Sabbath was hugely important. Not to beat a dead horse or anything, but does anybody have any questions about it? And just to clarify how important the Sabbath is, Jesus Christ himself honored the Sabbath. In fact, turn in Luke chapter 4. Matthew, Mark, Luke chapter 4. I'm in John. I went too far. Let me back. Mark. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Does this Bible have Luke in it? There it is. Luke chapter 4. Verse 16 says this, "And he," that is Jesus, "came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And as was his custom, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day." Jesus Christ honored the Sabbath. He was a Jew. He was living underneath the Mosaic law. And on the Sabbath day, he treated it right. In fact, we can find elsewhere in the Scriptures that Christ did not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill the law. Everything he did was in accordance to the Mosaic law because he was living under it. But now we're going to spend a little bit of time talking about what it really means to honor the Sabbath. Turn to Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2. We're going to read the end of chapter 2, and then we're going to spend a little bit of time in the start of chapter 3. Then we're going to take a look in Luke and then in John. Because the way Christ dealt with the Sabbath is not the way you might expect. Mark chapter 2, verse 23. One Sabbath, he was going through the grain fields. And you got to understand, there's all sorts of regulations about what you're supposed to be able to do and not do on the Sabbath. One of the things that you're not supposed to do is bring loads of grain into town. You're not supposed to be out there working the fields. One Sabbath day, he was going through the grain fields, and as they made their way, his disciples began to pluck heads of grain. And the Pharisees were saying to him, "Look, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" Now you got to understand, the law clearly said no work. We got some people around here that have grown fruit. You ever walk through the orchard and grab a piece of fruit and ate it? Is that different than when you've got people out there harvesting your fruit? When you're harvesting, you got bins out there, you got people with ladders, they're working up and they're pluck, 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 down, right? There's a difference between harvesting and walking through going, "I'm hungry," and eating one. But according to the Pharisees, that's harvest. How dare you do something that is unlawful? And what was Jesus' response? He said to them, "Have you never read what David did when he was in need and was hungry? And he and those who were with him, how he entered the house of God in the time of Abiathar the high priest and ate the bread of the presence, which is not lawful for any but the priest to eat, and also gave it to those who were with him?" True story. You can read it in the Bible. "And he said to them, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath." Did you catch that? "So the Son of Man is Lord of even the Sabbath." The idea of the Sabbath was not to put restrictions on you. The idea wasn't to make your life really miserable. The idea was for it to be a blessing to you. And God is Lord of the Sabbath. But let's see if we can develop this a little bit more. Look at chapter 3. "Again, Jesus entered the synagogue, and a man was there with a withered hand. And they watched Jesus to see whether he would heal him on the Sabbath so that they might accuse him. And he said to the man with the withered hand, 'Come here.' And he said to them," that is the Pharisees, "'Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do harm, to save life or to kill?' But they were silent. And he looked around at them with anger." I love that. Just so that you know. Sometimes Jesus got angry. Just because you get angry does not necessarily mean that you are in sin. How you handle your anger, that's important. There are people who want to judge you because you become angry. No. How you handle your wrath, that's important. "He said to the man with the withered hand, 'Come here,' and he said, but they were silent, and he looked around at them with anger, grieved at the hardness of heart. And he said to the man, 'Stretch out your hand.'" He confronted him. The man stretched out his hand, and it was restored. The Pharisees went out immediately, held counsel with the Herodians against him on how to destroy Jesus. You see, is it lawful to do good or evil on the Sabbath? What's the obvious answer? Do good, right? All right. Take a look at Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13. Verses 10 through 17. Luke 13, beginning in verse 10. Now he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman who had a disabling spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and could not fully straighten herself. And Jesus saw her and he called over to her and said, "Woman, you are freed from your disability." And he laid his hands on her and immediately she was made straight. And she, what does your Bible say? Glorified God. But the ruler of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had dared heal on the Sabbath. "You dirty dog. How dare you come to church and do something like that?" Pretty much his attitude. Look what it says. "There are 6 days in which work ought to be done. Come on those days and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. How dare you come to church and expect to feel better afterwards? Doggone you," right? Then the Lord answered him, "You hypocrite. Does not each of you on the Sabbath day untie his ox or his donkey from the manger and leave it away to water it? Ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 years, be loosed?" As he said these things, all of his adversaries were put to shame, and all the people rejoiced at the glorious things that were done by him. We see that he is master of the Sabbath. We see that it is more important to do good than to do evil. We see here, when he's talking about it's okay to do your animals but not to heal humans, we see here that people are more important than animals. If you would feed your donkey, if you would milk your cow, why can't I heal a person? People are more important than animals. But I want to finish this portion in John chapter 5. Because this is... And I promise I'll be done in the next hour or so. John chapter 5, verses 1 through 17. And it's a long passage. I'm just going to tell you what it says. There's this pool, and people would line up around this pool because sometimes they saw an angel of the Lord stirring the water, and the first person in got healed. Right? And there's this guy who's been at this pool a long time. And Jesus is walking by, and there's all these people all around. There's all these people all around the pool. And Jesus walks up to one of them and says, "What are you doing here?" The guy says, "I want to get healed, but there's nobody to help me get in the water." And what does Jesus do? He heals the man. It's a Sabbath day. Jesus says, "Get up, pick up your mat, and walk." By the way, just in case you were wondering, carrying your mattress on Sabbath day was bad. But what does Jesus tell him? Get up, pick up your mattress, and walk. Now, have you ever been sick? Have you ever been disabled? Have you ever had a hard time doing anything, and then you recover, and it's like, "Look what I can do! I can pick up my mat!" And the guy gets up and he's celebrating, right? And what are the Pharisees saying? "I don't care that this is the first time in years that you've been healthy. Put your mat down, doggone you." That's literally what's going on. And what does Jesus say to this man? This is amazing. Gospel of John, chapter 5. Do you want to be healed? Yes, he's healed. Take a look down here. Verse 12, the Pharisees asked the man who'd been healed, "Who is the man who said to you, 'Take up your bed and walk'?" Now this man who had been healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had withdrawn, as there was a crowd in the place. Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, "See, you are well. Sin no more, that nothing worse may happen to you." Now you need to stop and remember, can God tempt people with sin? okay, I've absolutely lost the crowd. Let's try this again. Jesus tells the man, go and sin no more, right? And you might be tempted to think that the carrying of the mattress on the Sabbath day was sin, but can Jesus or God tempt anybody with sin? Thank you. We could actually turn to the most inspired book in the Bible, the book of James, and see that no man when tempted should say, God is tempting me, for God cannot and does not tempt anyone to sin. So the sin that Jesus is talking about is not carrying the mat. There seemed to be something else in this man's life that had caused him problems. And Jesus said, look, don't sin anymore. All right, so what do we see here? Oh, I forgot to finish reading it. This is important. Verse 15. The man went away and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had healed him. And this was why the Jews were persecuting Jesus, because he was doing these things on the Sabbath. Check out verse 17. But Jesus answered them, my Father is... What's your Bible say? But it's the Sabbath. You're not supposed to do any work. Right? But Jesus says, my Father is working until now, and I am working. Are you guys familiar with that song? He's got the whole world. All right, yeah, you guys know that one, right? He's got the whole world in his hands. Did you know that if God was to ever let go of anything, it would not be? There's scientists that study the force of gravity. The force of gravity is what's called a weak force. Do you know what that means? No, I'm a physicist. I know what that means, kind of. Nobody really knows what it means. But gravity is this, got this really short, small, not really big ability to hold things together. It's not gravity that holds you on this planet. It is God at work every moment of every day. It's not gravity which holds the earth around the sun. It is God holding all things together. Does God stop holding things together on Sabbath? Oh, it's Saturday, gotta let go. No, God is always holding on to everything. And at some point in time, there is an element of work to that, okay? As God is always at work, so Jesus was at work. You see, the Sabbath was made for us to rest. The Sabbath was made for the people to know that there is something greater than them. The Sabbath was to point ahead to something. I've just spent, way too long getting to this point in the sermon. But I want you to turn to Colossians. Colossians chapter 2. I promise I only have one more point. I'm gonna just stick in Colossians and I'm going to wrap this up. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. And I want you to look at Colossians chapter 2, beginning in verse 13. I'm sorry, beginning in verse 16. You see, my friends, Christ came and fulfilled the law. And we no longer live under the Mosaic law. We don't have to follow all of the restrictions of the law. We've been set free from that. Take a look in Colossians chapter 2, beginning in verse 16. Therefore, let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food and drink, or with regard to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath. These are a shadow of the things to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. You see, when we take a look at this commandment, the Sabbath commandment, the whole point of this commandment was to point ahead to a future day. It was to set the nation of Israel aside and say that they were special to the Lord, and it was to look ahead to something, and that something is Christ. Therefore, today, as you and I walk on this planet, we are not underneath the Mosaic law. Therefore, it's okay for us to eat lobster, to eat crab, to actually do work on the Sabbath and not be worried about being killed for it. The law has been set aside. This is what it says. Therefore, let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food and drink or with regard to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath. These are a shadow of the things to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. What's the first word in verse 16? Therefore. What do we do in the Bible when we read therefore? We back up and we see what it has to say. So back up here to verse 13. You who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God has made alive together with Him, having forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This He set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and the authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in Him. This is what it comes down to. The Sabbath rest that we are to look forward to was the fact that Jesus Christ would come and pay the penalty for sin. Do you realize you don't have to earn forgiveness? You don't have to do everything right so that you can be acceptable to God. In Christ we are forgiven. All of those requirements of the law, all of the argument about do I milk it fast or do I milk the cow slow? All of those questions have been set aside because Jesus Christ paid the penalty for sin on the cross. And we have absolute forgiveness. There is no more worry. We have come to the day of rest. We don't have to fight to earn salvation. Jesus Christ paid the full penalty. We have absolute rest from the worry. We have absolute rest from the struggle. Because in Christ, the penalty of sin has been nailed to the cross. I spent, 45 minutes talking about the Sabbath, and pointing out that obeying God is important. And you want to know what the truth is? We cannot obey God. But Jesus Christ left glory, took upon Himself humanity. And for us, He lived a perfect life and died on a cross. He did everything right that we might find the rest that can only be found in Him. You want to know what the Sabbath is all about? It's about rest. And I don't care who you are and what you've done. I don't care what burden of sin lays heavy upon you. You can turn it over to God and find absolute rest. That's all there is to it, my friends. You come to the cross bearing the burden of your sin. You look upon Jesus Christ and you say, Lord, forgive me. And He forgives you. And there's no more worried about getting killed for picking up sticks. There's no more worried about doing work at the wrong time of the week. There's no more worry about the penalty of our sins because Christ paid it all on a cross, so that we might find true rest in our heart and in our soul. That's the message I have for you today. That's the message of the Sabbath, is that we can have rest from the penalty of our sin. Father, as we come before You today, as we stand before the cross, the reality is, on our own, all of us deserve death because the wages of sin is so bad. But there is mercy at the cross. And I thank You, Lord. Why would You choose to save sinners like us? Why would You offer Yourself to pay our penalty? I don't know. But I thank You. I lift my voice in worship to you today. And Father, if there is anyone here that has not felt the release of turning our sin over to you and saying, Father, forgive me, I'm not worthy. Father, these are my sins. Forgive me. Help me to live for you. Redeem me from my sin. If somebody has not done that, I pray that this would be the day. And Father, as we live our lives, I pray that everyone who has trusted you would be able to turn to the accuser, the evil one who says that we're just sinners, we're terrible people and we don't deserve it. And we remind ourselves and him that we're not worthy. But you have chosen to forgive us. We don't deserve it. But you are a great and merciful God. That it's not because of how great we are, because we're not great. It's how awesome and glorious you are. And we stand in awe of that today. In Christ's name, amen.